From the Wood Stove House in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, I'm Jason Mundock, and this is Around the Wood Stove. Today on the program, it's J.P. Harris from J.P. Harris and the Tough Choices. J.P. plays real old-style honky-tonk and country music, and that's that.
People ask, well, you know, like, so you play just, it's just country music? Just, you know, they kind of shrug and look at me quizzically, and I always say, you know, yeah, there's no prefixes or suffixes on country. It's just there's no alt or pop or anything else on the front.
Coming up, it's J.P. Harris talking about his brand new album and life on the road and on the sides of Vermont mountains. But first, let's find out what's happening around the wood stove. The Caleb Griffin Band, otherwise known as KGB, performed a rockin' set at the World Cafe Live Stage for the 2012 Tri-State Indie Music Awards back in February. That night, they also walked away as the best Philly indie band of the year. On June 1st, KGB returns to the World Cafe Live Stage, this time to celebrate the release of their brand new album, June Found a Gun. Tickets are on sale now. Find out more about the band and the release party at CalebGriffinBand.com. Here's a sneak preview of June Found a Gun. It's Honeymooners from the Caleb Griffin Band on Around the Wood Stove. Speaking of Tri-State Indie, we recently partnered with our friends at TSI to bring you our Wood Stove House Artist Spotlight series. We'll be periodically posting 5 to 10 minute podcast episodes on Tri-State's website, highlighting some of our favorite independent music from around the country. Look for the Wood Stove House logo when you visit Tri-State online at tristateindie.com. Tri-State Indie is your online source for independent music news, covering local, regional, and national acts every single day, and live at over 40 festivals a year. Around the Wood Stove is brought to you in part by Lemon Street Market at 241 West Lemon Street in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. For convenient access to locally produced, fresh, and healthy groceries and environmentally sustainable products, visit Lemon Street Market today. If you're in a rush, no problem. Lemon Street Market has on-site parking and a variety of locally sourced and prepared ready-to-eat meals. If you'd rather take your time and relax, the market has indoor and outdoor seating and features the new Herd of Turtles Cafe that offers coffees, teas, and other drinks, along with assorted items for breakfast. Lemon Street Market is Lancaster's healthy grocer, fresh, local, and friendly. Featuring regional and world-sourced food for your complete shopping experience, visit Lemon Street Market at 241 West Lemon Street in Lancaster or online at lemonstreetmarket.com.
If there ain't no honky-tonks in heaven, if there ain't no place to get a cold bottle of beer, if the angels were on Lionel guitar picking, if there ain't a honky-tonk up in heaven, I'm staying here. Well, there ain't a sigh quite like them shiny pearl buttons, just sparkling bright and those neon lights come on. Well, there's one bit that don't add up with this equation. Yeah, that's why Saturday night comes right before Sunday morning. If there ain't no honky-tonks in heaven, if there ain't no place to get a cold bottle of beer, if the angels were on Lionel guitar picking, yeah, if there ain't a honky-tonk up in heaven, I'm staying here.
My guest today is J.P. Harris from J.P. Harris and the Tough Choices. J.P. makes country music, and his new album, I'll Keep Calling, is filled with songs about whiskey and women, honky-tonk and good times, unfortunate tattoos, and of course, love gone bad. He's had quite a life, and I was lucky enough to get a chance to talk with him about it here in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, a couple weeks ago during a stop on his extensive spring and summer tour in support of the new album. Joining me at the Candy Factory in downtown Lancaster, Pennsylvania, J.P. Harris from J.P. Harris and the Tough Choices, rolling into town for a Series 42 show tonight at Lancaster Dispensing Company. Welcome, J.P.
Thanks, Jason.
Welcome
nice
to
be
around the wood stove. I got to tell you, I've been listening to this album, debut album from J.P. and the Tough Choices called I'll Keep Calling. I can't get enough of it. And I got it, I don't know, just a little while back. And there's not a bad song on the record, first of all. But the thing about it that I think I love the most about it is, there's not one thing. The musicians are fantastic. I want to talk about the band who played on the record.
Yeah.
The mood you capture, the feeling you capture, just takes you right into that bar.
Mm-hmm.
Wherever that bar is,
yep.
You know what I'm saying?
That's the idea.
And every single song makes me want to smoke a red and drink my beer out of the tap. And
yep.
It's just fantastic. So congratulations on this great
debut album.
Thank
you.
But you've been doing this for a long time, right? According to your bio, you've been out on the road for about a decade and a half. Tell me about that.
Yeah, pretty good while. Well, I haven't been playing country music that whole time. I took off from home when I was 14 and traveled all over the place. I just kind of hit the road with a backpack and did all sorts of stuff. And, you know, I kind of came up before that and, you know, my grandparents listened to country music. My folks listened to country music and a lot of Southern rock and old mm-hmm. 70s rock and roll and stuff like that. And I got a guitar. My mom got me an acoustic guitar when I was 12. An acoustic guitar, and I got an electric guitar. I traded a skateboard for to a kid down the street, and so I started playing in punk rock bands and you know, heavy metal and stuff like that, and that was really what I was into. And when I hit the road, I ended up picking up this old acoustic guitar from some old guy in Arizona when I got down there. A couple of years after I'd been out on the road, you know, I've been through a bunch of those little junkers, and.
Sure.
And I realized pretty quick that if I didn't live in the city, which I, you know, when from the time I was 14 on, I pretty much had been living in, you know, outside of heavily populated civilization. And,
yeah.
You know, I realized that I was going to have to learn to play acoustic music of some sort if I wanted to keep playing music. And, so I started learning some old Johnny Cash and Hank Williams stuff and, you know, was riding freight trains around, hitchhiking all over. And it was always something I could sit down on a street corner in some random town I got dumped off in and make a little scratch playing a guitar and sing a song. And
yeah.
You can't really bang out punk rock bar chords on a street corner expecting one to give you a dollar. So
right.
I learned a bunch of that, some Roger Miller, you know, that stuff. And, you know, played, just kind of always dinked around on the guitar. And eventually when I ended up in Vermont, I started playing old time banjo and really getting into playing old time music. And then I finally started writing my own country music about 3 years ago. I didn't really think at any point I'd ever be a touring musician. You know, I was running a mm-hmm. carpentry kind of restoration company up there and doing a lot of logging and tree work and stuff in the wintertime and building banjos in a shop I had there and was pretty well settled down. I still traveled a bit, you know, never really worked full time by most people's standards. But it just kind of, I started writing music, and then all of a sudden it was time for me to hit the road again. You know, it was what I wanted to do, so.
Well, I think the one thing that really stands out about your sound mm-hmm. is that it is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, it's so refreshing in today's fusion age.
Yep.
Where everybody is just taking genre after genre and
yep.
And putting their own spin on it, and they're following trends.
Exactly.
This is a country record. Mm-hmm. I think it was on one of the websites, you know, mm-hmm. these where you have your profiles, mm-hmm. where there are spots for three genres, and it mm-hmm. said country, country, country.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, you know, they always joke about how, you know, people ask, well, you know, like, so you play just, it's just country music? Just, you know, they kind of shrug and look at me quizzically, and I always say, you know, yeah, there's no prefixes or suffixes on country. It's just there's no alt or pop or anything else on the front. And, you know, people sometimes will refer to it as Americana. And to me, it, that implies, again, this, which there's a lot of great music that falls in the Americana genre.
Absolutely.
That I love and appreciate, and a lot of friends that play that kind of music. And but I, you know, I try and distance myself even from that thing, because to me, Americana implies a fusion of all sorts of different music, you know, all blanketed underneath, you know, basically
it's like,
country music.
It's like bluegrass instrumentation playing whatever.
Exactly.
And that's
exactly.
Americana.
And that becomes Americana. You put a pedal steel on an indie rock record and suddenly they call it Americana. And it's, to me, you know, I just want to be sure that, you know, that everybody understands it's, I'm out here just to play country music, you know, and it kind of spans the styles within country music a lot.
Sure.
I write and also everything from the 40s up to the 70s kind of stylistically, but it all falls under the straight up country, you know, name, and that's, you know, that's kind of what I like to stay true to as much as I can.
Well, I've done some foolish things in my day. I said a couple things I probably shouldn't say, but usually a couple of cans of beer were to blame. Yeah, I found your love, I thought it true, so I went out and got your name tattooed. Somehow this idea seemed perfectly sane, but now I'm crossing your name right off of my arm when you leave. Yeah, I'm gonna hold on to one little shred of my pride to wipe you off of my sleeve. No, I ain't gonna drag your name through the mud, honey, even though I probably should. I just cross your name right off of my arm.
This album was recorded in Louisiana.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me about that process of making this album?
Yeah. Well, I started going down to Louisiana about 4 years ago. My buddy Joel Savoie and a couple other buddies of mine, some of which who are on the record and some who aren't, but the fellas from the Red Stick Ramblers, we all met through these old-time fiddlers conventions in Mount Airy, North Carolina, and Clifftop, West Virginia, and all kind of all over. And there's this whole crew of these Cajun, you know, characters coming up to the, you know, the high Appalachian mountains and hanging out and playing fiddle tunes. And, you know, at night they'd be busting out accordions and twin fiddles and playing this Cajun music. And so the more I got to know all these Cajun characters, I was like, you know, these are real deal people. These are kind of more my style of people. And I'm from Alabama originally, so I've always had this sort of, you know, real connection with deep, deep Southern folks. And even though I was living in Vermont for years, you know, all my family is in East Alabama, and you know, it's somewhere that I identify strongly with a lot of ways. And so, you know, I started to meet folks who they seemed like more rural people the way that I consider myself a rural person. And they just knew how to get down and have a good time and play great music. And so after years of seeing each other at these fiddlers conventions, I finally said, I'm going to go down here and check out Mardi Gras, like way out in the country, this country Mardi Gras, old traditional Cajun Mardi Gras run, which is... my buddy Joel throws one at out at his place out in Eunice, which actually his last name Savoie, and his family's been there, I think he said 8 or 9 generations. And
wow.
The specific area Eunice is called Savoie, and it's the Ficatae run. And it's just a great traditional Mardi Gras run, very different than what people see on TV or think of as New Orleans Mardi Gras or any of that stuff. And so I started going down there, and then I just kind of started falling in love with it. You know, everything is food and dancing and music, you know, everywhere you go, that's what people want to do. They want to, you know, cook up a pot of rice and, you know, make some gumbo and play some good music and dance. And that's what people, you know, that's the center point of that whole Cajun community. Those are the three things that tie everybody from every sort of background and left, right, up, down, whatever. It ties them all together. And so I just really identified with it. And then again, you know, just love playing music with these guys. After a bunch of attempts to, you know, get the various touring bands that I had into the studio and just it not working out, spending a lot of my own money that kind of went down the tubes on failed projects and attempts at recording an album, I finally said, you know what I need to do? I need to get up with these guys, because these guys are experienced musicians. They've been in the studio a million times. And Joel's not only an incredibly good fiddler and guitar player and vocalist, and he's also a great engineer, runs a really quality Louisiana record label down there. And he said, you know, hey, man, what, you want to just come down and, you know, let's put a record together. And so I called up a couple of the dudes from the Red Stick Ramblers, my buddies Glenn and Eric Fry and Glenn Fields, a drummer and bass player from the Red Sticks, and brought my my first real long-term steel player, Ace Ambrosius, who's a phenomenal player. Me and him flew down there after playing a little weekend festival in Kansas City. We split with the band. They went back home to Vermont, and we hopped a jet plane down there, and we spent 5 days just hammering out a record, and had a real good time. You know, we were staying in Joel's place, and it was a cool experience because it's way out in the country. You know, his folks live right next door to him in another piece of land. The house he lives in used to be his grandfather's, and the studio used to be his grandfather's old summer kitchen. And, you know, it was just real, it was cool to be doing it with friends and folks I was comfortable with, you know, and you know, sometimes we go in and make dinner and then come back out at the, you know, and say, well, it's 10:30, man, let's go track some more guitar, you know, let's go back in there and like mess with that bass line again, you know? And so we'd go back out there and we had a good time doing it. Yeah.
The pedal steel on this record is mind-blowing.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, the guitar, electric guitar parts, there's some really good fiddle. Mm-hmm. The pedal steel.
Yeah, solid. Very, very solid. I mean, the guy's, you know, Asa is a talented steel player. You know, he's back up in Vermont now. He stays mostly local these days. But, you know, we keep in touch, and he's a he's a real phenomenal player all around, you know, in any genre. But he really, when he and I started playing together, when he joined up with the Tough Choices, you know, he really dug in to, you know, there's a lot of pedal steel players out there who they learn to play the pedal steel in a loose sense and they know how to make it do the bends and this and the other. Mm-hmm. But they all just kind of, a lot of guys just learn these sort of the cliche pedal steel licks, the standard riffs. And Asa really, like, he sunk his teeth in. And, you know, in the year and a half he played with me, you know, he developed even more so his own, like, pretty awesome, unique style of pedal steel playing, his own set of licks. And he really brought it to the table when we put the record down. You know, it was really great to have him down there. So
I'll keep calling you on the telephone, even though you're not home, and waiting through the rings to hear you say, well, thanks for calling, but I ain't home. And leave a message at the tone, and maybe I will call you back someday. Well, I've been here for so long with just your memory that I hardly can recall your smiling face. So each night I stroll the honky-tonks in bar rooms, but a faded dream is all I'm out to chase. So I'll keep calling you on the telephone, even though you're not home, and waiting through the rings to hear you sing. Well, thanks for calling, but I ain't home, and leave a message at the tone, and maybe I will call you back someday.
I'm Jason Mundock, and this is Around the Wood Stove. That was I'll Keep Calling, the title track from the brand new album by J.P. Harris and the Tough Choices. J.P. joined me for a chat just before a recent Series 42 show at Lancaster Dispensing Company. Let's get into some of the songs on this record, starting with the opening track, which really just comes out, and I think it just comes out and defines what you're doing.
Yeah.
Two for the Road.
Yeah.
Talk about that. Well, the opening line, I got to point that out. One for my heartache and two for the road. That's just such a great line, man.
Well, I think that was the second or third song I wrote. And that was about right around 3 years ago. It was in the spring. I started writing country songs when I had gotten home from a 3-month tour with this old time string band that me and a couple other folks tried to get off the ground. And, you know, we all knew each other from playing at Fiddler's conventions, and we went out on the road for 3 months solid trying to tour with this album. And I got home realizing that, you know, playing super traditional music was just not, it wasn't barroom music. It's great stuff and I still play it and love it, but it wasn't ever, in my opinion, really meant for anything outside of a campsite or a cabin porch or a barn dance. And so I got tired of trying to force it on people as this music that wasn't totally accessible. And so I sat down and I started writing songs, but I got home and I was broke as a joke. We went on tour in my old Dodge Diesel that I had with a 4-piece band and a truck cap on the back. And, you know, the thing was beat to hell when we finally got home. So I'm working away and started writing some songs, started getting this idea together for this band. And Two for the Road, just like, I think I've been listening to a lot of Buck Owens. I've been listening to a whole lot of Buck Owens. And I wanted something with that tom fill. You know, there's that tom fill in there. And I wanted that brump somewhere. And I think I wrote that chorus at this bar in Brattleboro, Vermont, that used to be called Mike's, and now it's called something else. But we all still called it Mike's when I lived up there. And still, when I go up to visit, you know, we say, right, let's sit down to Mike's. And newbies in town have no idea what we're talking about. We're like, well, it's Mike's. No, it's not Kipling's. It's Mike's. So I was in Mike's, and you know, you can't get beer to go like you can in some states in Vermont. But I remember joking with the bartender and said, like, oh, I'll get one more, and, well, why don't I get two for the road, too, you know? And then I kind of came up with the idea, like, well, that's like got a catch to it, you know? And I found myself sitting at a bar plenty of times, you know, and that idea of, like, you know, it's the end of the night, and the bartender's shutting down, and the neon lights are getting turned off, and, you know, you're trying to finish your drink, and you're in a bad way, and you don't ever want just one, you know, you want one more drink, just one more. It's just like that George Jones song, just one more, you know, just one drink and then another, you know, and I think that kind of, you know, the it's a leaving song. It's a closing time song, but I really wanted to, you know, I wanted to convey that feeling I've had so many times of like, I just don't want to leave, you know, like this is the only place that I can drown all this trouble, you know, is right here. Just give me a couple more, then I'll take them with me. I'll get out of here, but I need something else. I need some more drinks, you know. So and it came out pretty naturally, you know.
Yeah.
And it was funny having that. I knew, like, no matter what, I said, I know what I want the drums to do in this song. I want that tom fill, you know. I just got to have that somewhere, so.
Oh, I'll take one for my heartaches and two for the road. I'll always get tears that I've cried for you, Will. You'll never know, and the ones I've drank already just won't kill. Psyching, so I'll take one for my heartaches and two for the road. Well, I know it's time to close, and the neon's growing dim, but please don't make me go. Can't you see the shape I'm in? She has taught me what it's like to live life from night to night, and this honky-tonk's the only place to hide. So I'll take one for my heartaches and two for the road. All the whiskey tears that I've cried for you, Will, you'll never know, and the ones I've drank already just won't kill. It's aching, so I'll take one for my heartaches and two for the road.
The next song on the album is, well, I've got two favorites, but mm-hmm. I think this is the catchiest lyric for Badly Bent. This heart ain't broken, it's just badly bent. Each time I try to straighten it out, I wind up drunk again.
Yep.
I was driving down the road the other day listening to the CD in the van, and that song came on, and it was, I just started laughing, man. It was great. Yeah.
It's got a real tongue-in-cheek. You know, I always joke, the story behind that song, real quick, is... I got two really dear friends of mine one of them was originally from Vermont, and they both lived down in Asheville, North Carolina now, and they're split up, but they had moved up to Vermont and had a little baby to be close to his family for a little while they were going through childbirth and all that stuff. And and they always joked and called me Dirty Uncle JP, because I'd show up, you know, and I used to own this dozer that I ran a bunch, and the damn thing leaked hydraulic fluid everywhere, and, like, you know, the breather valve on the fuel tank was bad. So, you know, if you were going up over some rough terrain, because I did a lot of logging with it, you know, diesel would splash out of the tank and get on the back of your shirt, you know. And so I always showed up grubby, you know. But there was this one night I showed up, and I had put on brand fresh clean clothes right out of the wash, you know. And I got there, and realized that I looked completely filthy. And they were always saying, Dirty Uncle JP showed up. Go over there and roll and smack some grease with your Dirty Uncle JP. And, you know, my little buddy Asa, this little boy, is kind of like a surrogate nephew of mine. He was probably 6 months old at that point. So I was driving away that night, and I got that first line of the song, the, you know, these clothes ain't dirty, honey, they're just stained.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
And it started out as kind of a joke chorus that I wrote to tell them. And then I wanted to build on a song that was sort of like a meet and greet, you know, like, well, this is who I am. I want to lay it out real clearly, and I want to do it kind of cleverly, and I want to have my tongue planted firmly in my cheek when I do it, you know. But that song really speaks, you know. That was in that first bunch of four or five songs that I wrote about 3 years ago, and it definitely speaks to what my life has been like and how it's changed and what I've done in the last 3 years since I, you know, yeah, launched headlong into this. You know, it talks about, you know, leaving behind the settled life that I've known and all that sort of stuff. And, you know, so it was kind of like a, you know, like a love letter to all my friends, you know, mixed with an apology sort of, you know.
Yeah, that's but, neat that you, yeah, you know, you can pour that into songs.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
that so clearly.
Yeah. Well, my name is carved in almost every bar from here to the Gulf of Mexico. Yeah, I've taken my time in getting to know the neon signs and losing touch with the settled life I've known. 'Cause these clothes ain't dirty, honey, they're just stained from the honky-tonk lifestyle that I've maintained. This heart ain't broken, it's just badly bent. And each time I try to straighten it out, I wind up drunk again.
Badly Bent comes from J.P. Harris and the Tough Choices new album, I'll Keep Calling. At the Woodstove House, we're delighted to welcome our friends from Indian Summer Jars back to Lancaster for a Woodstove House concert. On Saturday, June 2nd, the Jars will be performing at our first house concert on Concord in Lancaster City.
Maker's Mark makes really fine whiskey. Bought a bottle and I was hoping you'd drink it with me.
House concerts are the absolute best way to experience live original music in an intimate, distraction-free environment. Check out woodstovehouse.com and click the Next House Concert button in the top menu for more details about this show. Or select House Concerts from the Events menu to check out all of the fine artists we've hosted in the past. Seats are very limited for these shows, so don't hesitate to make your reservations today. Now back to our conversation with J.P. Harris. You know, you talked about the various styles of country mm-hmm. music and mm-hmm. how true country music still has its mm-hmm. different kinds of songs, and yeah. Take It Back just swings, man.
Yeah, yeah.
What a great number. I mean, that just makes me want to dance, and you don't want to see me dance.
That's the best part about country music, man. Anybody can dance to it. But
that's right.
Doesn't matter if you're good or not. You just rock back and forth and smile. But.
And I wanted to point out the electric guitar riffs on this song, too. Mm-hmm. Just some incredible electric guitar.
Oh, yeah.
Filling in the pocket. And that's yeah. really, I think, where I really first noticed how the players on this album mm-hmm. know how to drop the perfect little riffs
yep.
to fill in those spaces.
Yeah.
They're great songs.
Exactly. But
those that little polish, the icing on the cake right there.
Yeah, it's a huge part of it. You know, and I did a lot of work. You know, the players themselves obviously were really great, but there was a lot, you know, the album, I very proudly in the liner notes stated produced by J.P. Harris, because I spent, you know, I had a real solid concept of what I wanted. You know, I wanted this quintessential sound. And sometimes you get a smoking hot player in the studio and all they can think about is chucking out the rhythm part, and then when it comes time for their solo, what they're going to do.
Yeah.
And so there was a lot of me constructing these songs and saying, okay, like, we need a fill here. Why don't we have a steel do this and the guitar answers here? You know, kind of some of that arrangement worked itself naturally, you know, worked itself out naturally over, you know, the couple of years that I was playing them before we went to the studio with the band. But, you know, there was definitely, there was ideas in that sense when I got in the studio. And Take It Back's a great one. I mean, that was a really cool twin lick that the steel and guitar do that one of my guitar players for a while back, who's a great player and lives in Austin, Texas now, Lion Gralty, he wrote that one just off the cuff. We said, this thing needs something else. I'd just written it, and we were getting ready to go out on tour, and we were rehearsing for a couple of days before we left. And he's a killer Western swing player. And he's like, well, it's just something simple like this, you know, this little thing. And he and Asa worked it up real quick, and it became kind of the real melody hook of the song. And that one was just, you know, I just kind of started humming the melody of that one. And I wanted a shout along. Like, I try not to really get too fixed in themes for songs, but sometimes you get a concept or you hear a song and, you know, like Move It On Over by Hank Williams.
Sure.
It's got that same kind of thing where, the whole band shouts, Move It On Over. And I wanted something where the whole band could yell, Take It Back, you know.
And the crowds, it gives the crowds
exactly. It's great, you know, and it gives everybody this real big shout along kind of feel. And so that one is, again, it just kind of flowed out and it had a good swing to it, you know. And I said, this is going to make, you know, people are going to love to dance to this number. So I wanted something with, you know, solid melody to it and a good dance feel, you know. And so that's where that one came from. But.
Well, if I knew out on a Friday night, just honking and talking, baby, it ain't right. Take it back from where you done come. Yeah, you're running around with someone I fling, but you're still wearing my wedding ring. So I'll take it back, go back from where you done come. Well, take it back, lies that you told me. Take it back, the love that you sold me. Take it back to your pappy shack. Don't come here no more.
That was Take It Back by J.P. Harris and the Tough Choices on Around the Wood Stove. And this album's not without a couple of slow tunes, some tearjerkers, and this Just Your Memory. It's such a nice song.
Yeah.
Talk about that one for a minute.
I would say all of the songs in this album, there's nothing that's fully fabricated. You know, almost all of these have at least, you know, there's 50% of what's in that song is something that's actually happened to me in my life. Yeah, I've had some... You know, I've been fortunate in a lot of ways in my life, but I've had some pretty tumultuous parts of my life. You know, I've had trouble with the law in the past. I had, you know, troubles with all sorts of substance stuff and abusive relationships. A lot of pretty rough things that I luckily was able to pull through and grow out of. That song I wrote right after a very special lady to me. And I had just sort of met each other, and I don't think we'd even really started officially seeing each other, but I was alone at this little cabin that I lived in and owned for about 8 years up in Vermont, and it was right around Thanksgiving, and, you know, I don't have any family up there at all. And she had gone to be with some of her family, and I was just kind of hanging out by myself at the house, and, you know, and just it really started to fall for this gal pretty heavy, and... you know, some time apart, you know, we met in the middle of, me really just getting heavy out on the road a lot. And so you spend a lot of time away from each other.
Yeah.
And, you know, unfortunately, you know, that relationship came to a mutual close not too long ago, which is, you know, a painful thing to deal with. But, you know, I wrote that song sort of specifically to her, you know, to just to let her know what I was feeling, you know. And it kind of, again, that one just kind of came out very easily. I think I sat down and wrote that one in about 45 minutes. And, you know, things get rough in the wintertime way up there, you know, and you spend time alone. And, yeah, I didn't have any power or running water or any of that sort of stuff where I lived for the last dozen years. And so, you know, I was on a cold north-facing mountainside on a holiday all alone. And it'll put a man in a melancholy mood. And especially if you add, missing a girl that you're wild about into the mix. So that's where that one came from.
It's really refreshing to hear you talk about how, and you know what, it comes through in this music, mm-hmm. how you can channel what you're feeling right into these songs
yeah.
in such an honest way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there are good places out there for music that isn't necessarily from that
mm-hmm.
place.
Mm-hmm.
It's fine. I
mean,
absolutely. But this music, maybe that's what feels so authentic.
Yeah.
What feels so real about it.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's what a lot of people sort of ask me about, you know, like, where do these ideas come from? Where does this stuff come from? You know, and it's really about, to me, just trying to, you know, convey my own personal experiences, which I think are, you know, not at all unlike most people's that, you know, in this country and all over the world. And I was doing a radio interview last night with a gal out in Marin, California, on a public radio station. And, you know, I was explaining to her, it's kind of like the, you know, the best thing you can do, I think the best way to try and write a country song is to not overthink it. And you want to just you want to take a very complex idea of an emotion, and you want to poetically and eloquently simplify it as much as you can. And, you know, there's some great songwriters out there who write in the country music vein, whose music is wonderful and brilliant and clever, but it's too well worded. It's too overeducated. You know, I mean,
yeah.
I have an eighth grade education. I never went to high school. I don't have a GED. You know, and I've survived just fine that way. And there's a lot of people, you know, who have a similar kind of, you know, they're simple people, or at least they want their music to be simple and accessible and understandable. And that's what I want out of the music I make. You know, I want it to be a concept that anyone can understand. I don't want you to have to read into it too heavily, or, you know, overly using metaphor, or, you know, and
Here's Just Your Memory by J.P. Harris and the Tough Choices on Around the Wood Stove.
If there's someone waiting for me on my doorstep, if there are lips that wait to kiss me soft and sweet, oh, you should know that there's no one there to greet me. That's just your memory keeping me company.
You got a song on this record called Return to Sender, which is just a good, fun song.
Uh-huh.
And man, there is some fun, what do they call it, chicken picking licks on that song.
Yeah, some pretty hot guitar playing.
Wow.
Chris Hartway, he's an absolute animal on the Telecaster. Yeah, it's funny because I wrote that song, and somebody, like a couple months after I wrote it, this kind of half-drunk fella came up to me in a bar after we played, and he's like, that's real bold of you to try and steal a name of an Elvis song. And I turned to him and said, you know, buddy, Elvis is dead. I'm going to name my song whatever the hell I want to. How about that? And, I figured, like, well, I couldn't pick a better name for the song. And that was a real, because I've been that guy. I've been the one, like, oops, like, you know, girlfriend, you know, standing on the porch at 7:30 in the morning when I come pulling in bleary-eyed in the truck and said, like, yeah, I passed out in the back. The bed of the truck after I left the bar last night. Sorry about that, you know. And
right.
I've caught grief plenty of times for doing that. You know, I have a wild streak in me and a much wilder streak in my past. And, you know, that song was just like a real kind of like, all right, boys, you know, boys or girls, you know, whichever you may be, you know, you got to watch if you want to go out and party and rock and roll. Like, you're going to catch hell when you get home for it. So, yeah, and that one just, you know, I wanted to really, and the theme of mail, you know, I mean, getting a package back with a big old return to sender stamp on it and a little note that says, like, don't give me that garbage. Don't you send me flowers. Don't you send me perfume made in France. You know, like, you're in big trouble, buddy. You know, take your little tail tucked butt over to the hotel for the night, you know.
And there's nothing you can do. It's that feeling.
That's it, man. Heart sinking. You're done, man. You just cast your chips out for the night.
I love
love my baby, but I sure love stepping out. When stepping turned to stumbling, well, my baby threw me out. So I wrote her a nice love letter, checked into a hotel room. How mad she was, I found out all too soon. Cause it said return to sender with a big red stamp. Oh, and big bold letter she wrote, gon' give it back to that tramp. I don't want your tail took a letter. Yeah, I've reached the end of my rope. A return to sender, and that's all she wrote. Living my boat, she told me scat. So I tucked my tail, dropped my ears, and went crawling back. Yeah, I sent her a dozen roses, perfume I made in France. Yeah, I figured like that she'd probably give me another chance. But it said return to sender, I don't want your junk. Oh, and P.S. honey, I COD to your dog and your trunk. You can get them at the old post office, general delivery. Or return to sender, you can pay the fee.
Return to Sender by J.P. Harris and the Tough Choices. J.P. was recently in Lancaster to perform at a Series 42 show at Lancaster Dispensing Company. I had a chance to meet up with him before the show to talk about the band's new album, I'll Keep Calling.
I think my favorite song on the album is the way the album ends. Mm-hmm. This song called Take It All.
Yeah.
I think it's, first of all, the best lyrics on the mm-hmm. record, and it's just a great ballad. Mm-hmm. Once again, love gone bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's the theme that emerges.
Yeah.
The first line of this, I don't care about your liquid assets. You know, I drank them all on the day you closed the book. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, man, that was, that's, it's funny because there's a certain amount of irony in that whole song. You know, the chorus, it says, you know, you can have the truck if it starts. But you know, the funny thing is that is a very true song. You know, I've never been married, actually legally married, but I've been in some very long-term relationships that you know, we lived together the whole time and we basically were married. And I wrote that one a ways after a real bad split up with a gal I was with and lived with for about 3 or 4 years. And there really was, when we split up, it was, you know, I ended up kind of taken off and ended up sort of going on a bender for about a month after we split up. But it was me that did the splitting up, because it was a really dysfunctional, unhealthy relationship for both of us.
Yeah.
But you know, it broke my heart to split up with her. And you know, there was an old couple old farm trucks that were at the piece of land that we lived on together. And, you know, and a whole slew of stuff in the house that neither of us could remember who'd bought it, you know. And so I just left her a note and said, look, you can have anything you want in here. And I really, in the note I wrote, and you can have the truck if you can get it started.
Right.
And I just took off.
And whatever you can fit in the back.
Yep. Yep. And I took off for about a month and basically went on a real unhealthy tear and drank myself, you know, into numbness for about a month before I came home to an empty cabin, you know, and the truck gone. And, you know, and so that was a, you know, that song. And that one, a funny thing is that a lot of them, I get a melody in my head when I write a song first. And that one, I sat down one night and just wrote the whole thing out. Just wrote it top to bottom, nonstop. And that probably literally 10 minutes. And I didn't put the music to it for probably another 3 or 4 months. I just closed a little notebook I'd written it down in, and I opened it back up one night and started working on it and worked out the, you know, the melody for it in a couple hours you know, got that one together. But yeah, that's, you know, we knew there was no place in the song, in the album, that song could go except for last.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of hard one to recover from.
It just wraps that album up just real nice. It's a great song, a great way to end that album.
Oh, that's good to hear.
I don't care about our liquid assets. You know, I drank them all on the day you closed the book. And I could care less about our estate settlements, except for something
a very valuable that you took. I'll give you back the picture that you gave to me, and you can have the truck if it starts, and you can have anything that you can fit in the back. Just give me back my heart.
Well, you're in town tonight to play a show brought to us by our friends at Series 42. So I want to hear a little bit about the road. You, man, your schedule is fat through yeah. July.
Yeah.
Tell me about this band you're touring with right now and what we can expect when we go see J.P. Harris. Just
solid honky tonk. I mean, nice.
I didn't expect anything different,
yeah,
but
well,
I wanted.
That's good. I mean, I've always, you know, I've always managed to keep a really pretty solid lineup of players with me at all times. You know, I never know. Things change all the time. And it's hard, as much as I tour, it's really hard to keep guys on the road. You know, I've had guys get married, guys, you know, move, yeah. You know, just a lot of guys who just said, you know, this is just not what I want to do. I don't want to be on the road this much. I don't want to live in a van. I don't want to pile into a double bed hotel room with five or six guys every single night. You know, I don't want to play these dumpy little bars where there's 40 drunk people who aren't paying attention. You know, for all of the great shows we have, you know, 75% of the time we're playing to a pretty limited audience, and we're just trying to, you know, I'm just trying to keep the boys paid and fed and keep the gas tank full. And, you know, that's what causes me to have to be on the road so much.
Yeah.
I mean, I enjoy it. I wouldn't trade it for anything. But it's a hard lifestyle. It's a very hard lifestyle. I've had two guys that joined up with me get divorced about, you know, 2 or 3 months after they joined up because the relationships went south due to the touring so much. I've had people, you know, including myself, all have, you know, heavy mental breakdowns. You know, I mean, it's a real rough way to go, and it becomes madness. You don't really know what's reality after a while when you've been out for 5 weeks straight and you're out of your element. You're never in your own space. And even in the van, we keep it as clean as we can, do the best we can, but your stuff ends up getting trampled in the night after a gig because everybody's piling in the van drunk, and you
right.
get up in the morning, somebody stepped on your headphones and smashed them, so you can't even hide in the back seat and listen to a song, any music when you're driving down the road, and you never have your own personal space. I mean, you get to the club and everyone wants to talk to you, or there's sound check, or there's this, or there's no green room, so you just got to go sit in some dumpy corner. And half the time you show up, the bartenders are rude and don't care who you are. The promoter didn't show. You get burned on money. The sound guy doesn't show up. The PA is broken. You know, I mean, and people don't really realize that they show up to one really good show and it looks like, well, man, these guys just stroll up and the lights are on them and they're smiling and rocking out. And it's like, well, I wish you'd been on the last five shows we were
right.
at. You know, it's a tough way to get by, but.
Well, I hope tonight is one of those highlights.
I believe it will
shows.
Be. I do believe it will be.
We're really excited to have you in Lancaster. Thanks, JP, so much for taking a few minutes to
Absolutely.
Talk about your music, man. We're really excited to see the show tonight, and good luck with this record, and good luck with the rest of the tour.
Absolutely. I appreciate it, man. Thanks for having me in, Jason.
You bet. I'll Keep Calling is the new album from J.P. Harris and the Tough Choices. It's available now from Cow Island Records, both online and at all J.P. Harris shows. Learn more about the album and JP at ilovehonkytonk.com or link up from our website, woodstovehouse.com. And while you're there, you can also check out past episodes of the show, subscribe to the show, or leave a few bucks in the tip jar to help us do what we do. If you like what you hear, please drop a comment on the show post, give us a good rating on iTunes, and be sure to tell your friends about it. Around the Wood Stove was produced at the Wood Stove House in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. You can find us online at woodstovehouse.com.